welcome to the Picture House podcast. My name is Sarah Cook and I am the marketing manager of Picture House Central, here to bring this fantastic interview with the wonderful Adam McKay. If you don't know that name, you will definitely know his work. He is the creator of Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and also brought a Step Brothers, up until more recently where he won an Oscar for the fantastic The Big Short about the banking financial crisis. And if you've been keeping up, he's getting lots of nominations for his latest work, which we're here to talk about today, Vice, starring Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Steve Carell and Sam Rockwell, because that is like a phenomenal cast list, revolves around the life of Dick Cheney, a politician, businessman who manipulated a lot of American politics for his own gain. It stars Christian Bale as Dick Cheney in a transformative role and also boasts some really impressive supporting performances from Rockwell and Adams, all three of which have got an Oscar nomination, as well as Adam McKay himself for directing, writing and a Best Picture. So it's a really, really good film to get into, and it's going to open your eyes about a lot of stuff, especially how our world works now and how Cheney had a hand in it. We sat down with Adam McKay to talk about Vice, the state of politics, and some British dark comedies too. Well, I hope you enjoy. Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm very good. A little, you know, got a little jet lag, starting to get a little tired, but yeah. But having a great time. I always love coming to London, one of my favorite cities.
Oh, great. Are you excited about bringing Vice here as well?
Oh, so I'm thrilled.
Absolutely wonderful, gripping film.
Thank you.
And so, like, so interesting. What drew you to the Dick Cheney story?
Yeah, I jokingly told a friend the other day, I said, between The Big Short and Vice and whatever the third movie I'll do is, this is kind of the what the holy hell is going on trilogy. and how the F did the world get this effed up trilogy. So, you know, obviously the financial collapse is self-explanatory, but you know, when politics in America and worldwide kind of turned upside down, I just started looking at some of the question marks out there. And for me, one of the big question marks was Dick Cheney. Really changed America and changed America's standing in the world and changed the world. And I started digging into a bunch of these great books that had been written about him. And every four or five pages just kept going, oh, my God. And kind of got hooked.
It seems very timely to be mining like the controversial political figures such as Cheney and in this political climate where no one can actually really be trusted in governments, both like here and in the US.
It's kind of insane how much it harmonized with the crazy state of politics in the US and worldwide. We were consistently astounded by it, especially, you know, we hit on this at the time fairly obscure legal concept called the unitary executive theory. And as we're editing the movie, and even today, on this very day, American news is covered with unitary executive talk about potential attorney general Barr and Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court talked about unitary executive theory. So, yeah, it was crazy. All the little details and nooks and crannies of our movies started coming to life, and we couldn't believe it.
And obviously, the biggest draw here is Christian Bale, and you worked in with The Big Short. So why did you return to this, I mean, formidable actor?
Well, I knew this movie was a tricky one. I mean, this is a character, Dick Cheney, no one knows a lot about. He's not very charismatic. There's not a lot of writing from him out there that reveals a whole lot. So if we were going to jump into that, you know, mysterious cave, I needed someone good, and Bale was the guy. So from the second I started writing the script, I knew it was going to be Bale.
That process of developing different ages of Cheney and the look and the tone and what he did, how did you work with closely with Bale to develop?
It's one of the remarkable things that Christian and Amy Adams did was covering them for those five or six decades. It's a lot of work between Greg Canham, our makeup artist, and our hair and makeup and wardrobe with Susan Matheson. You know, it's amazing with actors like Christian and Amy, they end up really, those department heads become part of the acting process.
Yeah.
So we had to test each one of those looks, and we had to do camera tests for each one of those looks and constantly be tweaking them and giving notes. The makeup testing process on this movie was extensive. It was like 3-4 months of just solid makeup tests that we were doing. It was really crazy.
looks incredible, especially with his prosthetics, but also with Amy Adams. Like,
unbelievable. She, yeah.
So good. So good. And she's such a powerhouse here as Linda Cheney's.
I mean, I was joking. I said, in a way, it's the Dick Cheney story, but it's really kind of the Lynn Cheney story.
Yeah.
I mean, she really is the wind in the sails of this movie. Without, they actually say, people from the hometown, Casper, Wyoming, where they grew up, people to this day say, without Lynn Cheney, or no, they say whoever Lynn Cheney would have married would have been president or vice president. Yeah, she's a force.
She's a ball buster from the beginning.
Oh,
she,
yeah.
And she lays down the law.
I had a friend who got yelled at by her, and he's like, you do not want to be yelled at by Lynn Cheney. She yeah. is a powerhouse.
What made you choose Amy Adams for the role?
Well, Amy Adams is a little bit of a powerhouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Amy Adams is the sweetest, nicest person you will ever meet, but I don't think you can knock her over in a hurricane. Yeah. I mean, she grew up in Colorado. She's a little bit from that part of the country, and she's fierce. And yeah. she really connected with the character right away, said she had a grandmother that reminded her of Lynn, and couldn't have been more perfect. And then as a bonus, I even forgot when we did the casting, Christian and Amy have worked together a bunch of times and yeah. really enjoy working together. So, well, it was great. We got that shorthand on set between the two of them.
That kind of instant chemistry. Like
instant. Yeah, it's so fun to watch.
Oh, amazing. I mean, the cast here is just superb. I mean, you've got Sam Rockwell and Steve Carell doing these famous faces. Like, I mean, especially Sam Rockwell trying to get George W. Bush. He's probably the most famous politician everyone knows here.
How about Rockwell? Yeah. That's a hard character to do. I mean, after Will Ferrell's kind of famous impression of Bush,
yeah.
I told Rockwell, I go, this is going to be hard, man. You got to bring this guy back to being a real guy now.
Well, and, yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, Carell is Rumsfeld, just terrifying. So craven. Tyler Perry's quite amazing as Colin Powell, too.
Yeah.
He really blew me away.
I mean, you did, but the writing is so good for them because they're very deplorable characters, but also at the same time, you kind of like them. It's really hard to watch. Like, Dick Cheney is so charismatic.
Yeah, I think he starts off as a guy you kind of understand his motivations. You know, he's trying to make his wife proud. He's trying to make his kids proud.
Yeah.
He wants to get ahead, like kind of like we all do, you know. And there's that scene where he calls his wife from the White House and he's like, guess where I'm calling from? And we've all kind of done stuff like that in our life, like show your parents your first paycheck or whatever. So it's very identifiable. And then you see, you know, as it goes on, it takes a darker turn, like that early American ambition just became something much, much darker. And by the end gets pretty tragic, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have this wonderful family man as well in it who cares about his daughters.
Yeah.
Because in the minute when his youngest comes out as gay, as a lesbian, that's it, your stomach falls. And then all of a sudden they're supportive.
Yeah, that's word for word what he said. The second she said it, he said, it doesn't matter, we'll love you, we'll always love you.
Wow.
And then Lynn, word for word, started crying and said, well, this will be so hard for you.
Yeah.
but he really did say that, and he really was behind her. And yeah, it's a complicated story. And then by the end, of course, they make different choices. And it's, man, I'll tell you, powerful. Power is an incredible drug. There's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing like it.
Oh no, definitely, yeah. Especially in America. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
How your writing process? Because this is so. There's four breaking moments. You've got Naomi Watts doing the Fox News, and my favorite bit is the Alfred Molina menu.
Oh, I love that.
Very
yeah.
Monty Python-esque satire. How do you write that? How was the writing process in creating something different from movies like The Big Short and Vice?
Well, you know, I think with The Big Short, we were trying to be instructive with our little breaking of the fourth wall because the financial products were so complicated.
Yeah.
In this case, we're trying to make it so that audience never settles into a traditional biopic. We want the audience off balance. We want them engaged with the movie. So the little stylistic flares, the sudden smash cuts to explosions, like we never want the you know audience to just feel like, oh, it's a political biopic. And so, yeah, they were used for that. And in some cases, too, like with the Alfred Molina, you know, if we just cut to documents to describe those legal decisions as close-ups, it'd be pretty boring. Like, and you really think about the list of what they did. It's shocking. So we wanted it to have that energy when we were showing it. So a little bit of a mixture of just really wanting the audience to be on the edge of their seat and engaged. And then sometimes when it's a lot of information, a stylistic choice just keeps things more buoyant.
Absolutely. My final question is that you started off in very like conventional comedies, like hilarious, Anchorman, Step Brothers, and very funny. And bit by bit, you've gotten darker and darker. Still comedies, but like bit by bit. I mean, what is that? Just how it's come about? Is this like a choice? Are you going to get darker and darker as you go on?
You know, I would say I didn't get darker. The world got darker because it would. I believe me. I wish I could just keep making comedies. We had so much fun making those, but it just feels weird with where the world's at now.
Yeah.
To go do that kind of stuff, it just would feel strange to me. So yeah, what we're doing has changed. You know, it's a Big Short, the show Succession that I work on with Jesse Armstrong, and now Vice. And I wish the world would settle down and then I could go do a movie where I laugh for 8 months straight.
Yeah, we could have like peace in the world and then we can have like a slapstick kind of Step Brothers 2.
I was going to say, can we do a slapstick comedy about global warming? If there's a way to do that, that would be the way to do it. I'm trying to think. There has to be a way. One of my all-time favorite movies is what's it called? Four Lions.
Oh, Chris, yes.
Love that movie. But he actually did a sometimes slapsticky movie about terrorism. It's really a remarkable movie. It's so good. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there a way to do that with global warming? It would
you
be interesting.
You make the deniers dumb enough. You can definitely do a slapstick about climate change.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me today. I hope you enjoy your time in London.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.